¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. Would you believe I'm broadcasting this week from New York City? I'm over here because on April the 22nd, which is this Tuesday, it's Earth Day. It's the 55th anniversary for Earth Day, which was originally set up by the Earth Day organization. That's earthday.org. So we are here with a bunch of amazing people, some from around the world, many from New York itself and from different parts of America. And we're actually going to be producing a concert that will be live broadcast around the world. So the concert will be in celebration of Earth Day. It's called Love Your Mother. We've got some amazing artists, some singers, some speakers, some organizations that are coming to celebrate. And the focus is love your mother. Why? Because we believe that Mother Earth is really the biggest, greatest mother of all. And if we can't honor and love her, then we're going to be in serious trouble as we move deeper into this thing that humans are calling a climate crisis. So that's why we're here. If you want to check out the live broadcast for Love Your Mother concert, in partnership with the Good News Corporation, in partnership with OM, in partnership with loads of other organizations, obviously Earth Day, then you can go to the earthday.org website. You can go to We Don't Have Time app if you use that. It will be showing all around the world on YouTube and on X and various other platforms. So do check us out. It's this Tuesday, starting at 11:30 East time. So that's 5 hours difference to the UK. So 11:30 East time will go on till about 4:30, something like that. So it's going to be such an exciting show. I am actually hosting the event. So I shall be on stage presenting and hosting and interviewing all of the amazing people that are coming to join us. And then at the end of the show, I'm going to be singing 3 songs in honor of Mother Nature. 3 of my most favorite songs, Bob Marley covers, Redemption Song, No Woman, No Cry, and the great anthem, One Love. So please do come and join us. It's going to be an epic event. And that brings me nicely, I mean super nicely, to today's guests. In fact, one of them will actually be performing on stage for us. She will be the opening act and also performing during the live broadcast. It's going to be absolutely epic. We've got today Rachel Singh and Luke Levine, who are the co-founders of a brand new movement called FIVTH. It's FIVTH, and they have an amazing event happening just around the corner on May the 4th in Portugal. So we're going to talk about all of this event. But first of all, I want to introduce you to Rachel and Luke. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us. Thanks. Super nice to be here. Thank you so much, Jarvis, for everything you do. and for this opportunity to be here and share with the audience. It's amazing.
Ah, you're most welcome. Thank you for joining us. So these guys are in New York as well. It's going to be, I can't believe I'm in New York. It's just absolutely brilliant to be presenting from here today. So Rachel, let's just very quickly start with you. Tell us a little bit about who you are and a little bit about what you do and how you do it. Because obviously you're a singer, you're going to come and perform with us. But just give us a bit of background on your life's work.
Yes, so I'm originally from the Netherlands, which people wouldn't guess from my accent or the way I look. But I was born in the Netherlands. I've always had a big passion for music and for singing, writing songs. And actually, that journey brought me to apply to music schools. And I felt a little bit blocked at some point in my creative expression, and I think many of us can relate to that journey of a creative trying to get their music out, to create, to share. And at some point I decided to travel. But that whole journey also brought me to actually teaching people how to sing and really unlocking and unblocking their voice, because I noticed that this is not just an individual thing, but a collective, a feeling that we experience, that we have a blockage around our throat chakra. So this is the work that I offer today to anyone who's willing to explore and wants to sing, has the desire to sing, but is maybe a little bit shy. And so this is really what I offer in Portugal through healing circles, through retreats, through events, through any type of spaces where they feel this would be a way to enhance any practice, any spiritual practice.
Nice, that's amazing. So you are an artist in your own right and a singer and a performer, but it sounds like you're performing for, reasons beyond just the performance element to heal and shift, but you're also offering gifts to people that want to explore and open up that voice within themselves. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Luke, tell us about your background and your life's kind of work. I'm just trying to For everybody, just to get some context on who you are, because I know you well, reasonably well. I mean, we met quite recently, but had a deep connection. But there's clearly this kind of really spiritual connection for us. But I want everybody else to be able to hear and feel that who's listening in.
Thanks, Jarvis. My journey, I'm really a student of, so I'm my I, there's a lot of things I could share, but I think the main point for me, I'm a student of Kabbalah, so Jewish mysticism. I've been studying that for 6 years. That's really kind of completely reshaped my life. Well, I've been fully committed to the practice for about 6 years. I've been studying for about 12 years, and it really, as a practice, has been deeply transformational. It's changed my life completely. I guess the person I once was many, many years ago to the person that kind of I feel like I'm embodying today. It's just such a And I was thinking about this morning as I was just like, what is this wisdom? Like the ability to really go deep and really unravel some of the darkest parts of our own shadow. How do we actually kind of mine and really transform those parts that are otherwise inaccessible? And I think that what's so beautiful about this particular practice and why it's really the cornerstone or the foundation of my life is it creates a framework which allows me to really has allowed me to really transform in and unravel parts of myself that I don't think I could have ever accessed using any other type of practice. That's the depth and the container of this profound practice and wisdom that goes back to the foundation of the monotheistic traditions. So I'm both passionate about the practice because it's such a lifeline for me and a transformation for me to have that and to really to do some of that deep, really inner work and act and transformational work that has really been the saving grace to my life today. And equally, I'm passionate about the technology behind it from a from a meta perspective, like how does it work? Because it's so profound. And I think it was both the light that it reveals and the structure of a system that's so profound that has kind of inspired the work that I'm doing today with the fifth, and actually brought to this prophecy, or kind of inspired the everything that we're walking today is really an unraveling of this passion for this practice and a desire to make it more accessible. Because first you have an experience, you're like, wow, this thing is just a game changer for me, and that journey has been super profound. And then the question is, my mind, my ego was like, well, how does it work? Like, this make any sense? How can light and information being packaged within a text, like you've got these texts, how does it transmit this kind of information in this profound way? How did our sages, our ancestors, build these types of technologies of the soul that could allow us to unravel the deepest parts of ourselves and connect to the source creation of reality itself, right? The source code of reality, the building blocks, the fabric of existence. How is it encoded in language, like this kind of like Hebrew or Sanskrit or Aramaic? How is this wisdom encoded? So my journey and my passion and my work is really around that, and then what that's connected to with regards to prophecy or revelations like the fifth, and how that is the intersection of that and my personal journey to meeting that point. You know, that is you're in points of convergence, right? You're in a path, you're doing your inner work, everything is really an internal process, and at some point it unravels to being this awesome conference, and everyone's like, hey, how cool. My parents recently found out that I'm doing the conference, and then finally my mum listened to some of Rachel's work, and she's like, wow, Rachel's doing some really nice songs, you know. I'm like, mum, I showed you this like five years ago, you know, when we met, and only today could my mum see it, because people can only see the tip of the iceberg, they don't know what happens underneath, you know. And that's okay. Anyway, Rachel's giving me the leg squeeze, so I know that's the time to stop.
No, it's good. It's good. I mean, we're going to get into that. We're going to get a lot deeper into that. We've got different parts of the show, but thank you for opening that up. I think what would be interesting to everybody that's listening is, you know, who are you? You know, what is your background? Why have you got on this journey? So let's just go backwards a little bit. So pre your kind of Kabbalah experiences. So who are you? What's your background?
My background. So I grew up in London. I went to public school. Right. I went to two schools, Dulwich College and Harrow.
Yep.
I went to art school. I went to an animation school called Bournemouth. In that yearly time frame, I had a nightclub. No, sorry, no.
It's all coming back to you now, isn't it?
It's quite important. No, yeah. I went to Germany to do like a gap year where I was traveling. I went to business school, and I dropped out of business school, went to animation school. So my passion was making cartoons.
Yeah.
And I did that, I studied in Paris. And then after that time, I was kind of wanting to create things. I always wanted to create things. So I got into music videos, directing music videos and commercials, and then I was doing storyboarding for animation. I was really into just traditional hand-drawn animation. It's my foundational passion.
Mm-hmm.
And then that led me to doing music videos and commercials in all types of different animation formats, from stop motion to 3D, but hand-drawn is still the main thing. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of ended up doing a documentary. I went to live in Wales, in the Brecon Beacons, with anarchists that were kind of doing a protest in against a liquefied natural gas pipeline. And so I followed this girl to the Brecon Beacons, who was living with a group of anarchists in the trees, and I lived there for 6 months, and I decided to make a documentary about anarchists. I met Swampy, anarchists living their kind of like good life, and I went to travel around all the kind of protest sites in and around the UK. There were like nine at the time, to understand like how do people live outside of systems. I wasn't never really understood what I was doing, to be honest. I was just kind of following what felt like a really interesting thing for me to unravel. I was like, well, people live in protest sites, you know. I was an English public school kid who had never had that exposure, and it was my first exposure to people like doing radical direct action to stop something, you know. So anyway, long story short, that was about a year and a half of trying to make a documentary about living in different sites, learning lots of magical things, and then where did I go? Then I went to Berlin, started getting into tech, animation technology, then came back from Berlin, built a startup, launched a nightclub in Bond Street. It was a kind of cabaret burlesque 1920s greenhouse with a really experiential theatrical place. Then went into experiential storytelling, then got into real estate. But in this time, I had my first experience with ayahuasca because I kind of also kind of going from experiential nightclubs to then real estate because of I kind of like I got caught up in the nightclub life, brought up a lot of shadow.
Easy to do in London.
Yeah, got very caught up in the nightclub life. I was like, just kind of. I'd go energy junkie, right? So I was like, oh, this is really fun and this is really great. And I'm partying and partying and partying. And like, and then kind of sort of just crashed very quickly, really quickly. And then my flatmate at the time was working with ayahuasca. She's a very old dear friend. I was like, I think you should try this. This might be really helpful for you. And that was 2011. And I went and drank ayahuasca for the first time 3 nights in a row, and that kind of opened something. And at the time, I was working at Savills because I'd kind of crashed and went into real estate, and I was working at Savills and like trying to integrate my ayahuasca experience while in Savills, and that was really overwhelming because it was difficult. And then I started getting into spirituality, and then there was a kind of a new door opened, and then while I was getting deeper into spirituality, I got into immersive technologies. So from about 2013, 2014, I got into like immersive technologies, virtual reality, augmented reality, and technologies like that, building kind of experiences and like first selling and then building things while I was kind of, and that was when the Kabbalah thing kind of happened. And that
That's great. I think there's a good picture there. There's a good kind of bit of background. Thank you for sharing that. I think it's just important because as we're going to be talking about the fifth and this kind of co-creation that you two are manifesting, and you've now built a team around it, and you're bringing on board amazing people. I think it's just good for context. So it sounds to me that your kind of awakening journey was very much related to ayahuasca. Many of our listeners will relate to that. So you're going to have to tell me a little bit more about that. But Rachel, you two are, just to be totally transparent with everybody that's listening, are a couple, which is really wonderful and beautiful. I work, with my wife. We do everything together, kind of in business. We're a team, and you two are a team. What's this journey been for you, in opening up the door and beginning to manifest this event that fifth is? What's been the process for you two in order to start that?
Yeah, it started with obvious, it looks wild vision and his ability to imagine in ways that go completely beyond. For me, it was really a big moment of okay. This feels huge, and how are we gonna approach this? I love his ability to vision, have a vision. And when we met, it was always like that. From the beginning, when we met, we started to work together. We met in Ikaria, on a Greek island, beautiful, beautiful.
Nice.
The first thing he noticed was my tattoos on my arm. So on the left, I have the flower of life, and on the right side, I have a music symbol, which really ties into the first project that we started, which is called Soul Lingua, which is translated as the language of the soul. And so really exploring how we can share sound, music in a way that it helps people elevate into higher states of consciousness. So specifically looking at sacred sounds, sounds from Hebrew, from Sanskrit, I sing mantra. So this has been my journey since we met, and something that he also inspired me to start exploring. Because before we met, I was writing songs, I was singing, so mostly in English, sometimes in Dutch. But generally, I was exploring my own language and the English language. And then when we met, I started to explore singing more these sacred languages. And when I started to dive into specifically Sanskrit, I felt something immediate awakening inside. Just it was so immediate. The first mantra I sang was for Shiva. And that's where I started to understand and feel this deeper connection that we can all have through sound and through singing. So this is really what I offer in the projects, and a really important part for most of what we do is to obviously help people elevate their consciousness into higher dimensions.
Absolutely brilliant. I'm going to stop you there. We're going to go to a quick commercial break just because it's that time of the show. So don't go away. When we come back, we're going to find out more about Rachel and Luke and about this amazing manifestation of an event that's happening soon. So don't go away. We're going to tell you more about that, and we're going to tell you how you can get involved and potentially come and join us. So don't go away. I'll be back in a minute.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I'm here with Luke and Rachel, who are the co-founders of The Fifth Experience, which is going to be a brand new event. The launch event is in May, happening on May the 4th in Portugal. I'm going to ask Luke to just tell me kind of how this came about, but just to give you guys just some context. So let me read this to you. This is on the Fifth website. And by the way, it's Fifth Empire. It's FIVTHEmpire.com. I'm going to give you that again so you can have a look at it later. But the Fifth Empire Summit is an invitation to explore the great shift in human civilization, bringing together thought leaders, innovators, and visionaries at the historic and mystical heart of Sintra in Portugal. Inspired by Fernando Pessoa's vision of an empire of wisdom, this event is not about politics or conquest, but about reshaping the future through knowledge, technology, creativity, and consciousness. Against the backdrop of global instability, AI disruption, and the decline of traditional power structures, we gather to ask, what comes next? I think that's a question in everybody's hearts and minds at the moment. Through discussions on artificial intelligence, decentralized economies, cultural renaissance, and spiritual awakening, we seek to illuminate pathways toward a new era of human potential, an empire of thought rather than territory. I love that. I mean, just hearing that, it just oozes with invitation, like kind of, yes, please, I want more. Luke, tell us a little bit about, I mean, I know you've talked about your Kabbalah work and your own kind of spiritual practice. I'm sure many of our listeners will equally have their own spiritual practice, but tell us a little bit about the inspiration for this event. What was the kind of wake-up moment for you?
Well, for me, the wake-up moment was this prophecy that is really rooted in Portuguese law, and the understanding that there was this time. There's something very special happening in Portugal. We've been here for quite some years, on and off, and there's obviously a there's a spiritual community that's really here at the grassroots that offer various different types of practices, from shamanic practice to plant medicine to like breath work, and it's there's such a broad diversity of people, and there's really is a movement happening that was very clear at a grassroots level. That and then understanding that there was this prophecy foretold about Portugal's history and passion. I have a deep passion for my own practice and the history of my practice, and that connection back to the monotheistic traditions, or what sits at the root of the monotheistic traditions in terms of what spiritual foundation sits at the heart of the West. And it's just just the threads that I was unraveling, kind of finding its way to a point where Portugal seems to unify all of these different elements. And it has this unbelievable history and legacy that I was, that I somehow tapped into.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just through the research, the exploration, the downloads through practice, the discoveries that I was making, the conversations I was having, that it sort of did itself, really. It's kind of I'm trying to find a really concise way to share it with people in a way that people can relate to it. It's like, how does one's own personal spiritual journey unfold?
Mm-hmm.
How do we find our path and our calling? You know, it's all connected to our personal truth. As we're doing that unraveling of our own truth, we find ourselves at a point in time when here in this moment, which mm-hmm. I know you want to give clear information, but I'm trying to like give something really concrete that.
No, let me ask you a question then, because I think it'd be good to drill down to kind of that. So you feel this magic in Portugal. There's this kind of, you know, the gathering of perhaps more conscious or beings that are wanting to experience themselves in a new paradigm, in a different way, in a disconnected way from the fear-based paradigm. So I get that. Portugal's special.
Yeah.
You were then inspired to, through your own practice, you found perhaps, you know, a purpose, and that's to kind of launch this event. So what's the purpose that you are living? What's the purpose that you feel you've been aligned with?
Well, for me, I obviously look through the lens of a particular practice, but that practice for me is not a singular thing. It's something very universal. It's a connection for many different practices that can, it's almost a framework that weaves many practices together. I see it's a unifier of systems. I love mm-hmm. to find the commonality between systems, right? If I was to give myself, you said, who am I? I see myself as a bridge. Really, I've lived in many different worlds, so I'm able to bridge worlds.
Yeah,
like
okay.
The most extreme world, I'm looking for the thread. I'm like, if everything is one, how does that work, right? And so my mind is always trying to understand how things connect, and my I'm finding threads because I want to create unity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also half Jewish, so somehow I lived in a Jewish world and a Catholic. Well, my mother's Catholic converted, my father's Jewish. I've been rejected by many worlds. So I've always been looking at the threads that bridge worlds, because I'm like, well, why don't I fit anywhere? Mm-hmm. Like, how do I fit in when mm-hmm. I don't fit into any box? So looking for the bridges to understand where it was that I connect, that's my personal journey, has brought to this place, which is looking for the thread that weaves all the journey somehow a route. I'm not saying I've solved that problem, but I see a commonality, mm-hmm. and it's the body of wisdom that holds the fabric of this, what I see as a universal language spirituality community. There are frameworks that hold everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Sit at the core of our own personal stories, and I'm really interested in those root systems and those root frameworks that bridge everything within one.
Okay, so why are you bringing that to an event? So that's your personal. I get that. This is brilliant. Why are you then wanting to open that up to others? What's the invitation? So
the fifth is a vision, a prophecy for Portugal. So it's meant to happen. Why am I bringing it to others? Why am I bringing it? Because I'm here for, okay, so why am I bringing it? Because I believe that we're meant to elevate the world out of pain and suffering. And the Kabbalists will say, we want to remove death. Well, death is not the physical death, but the death. Like, we want to elevate back to paradise or unity or God consciousness or remove suffering from the world, right? I mean, how do we communicate it? There are different languages, that just to make the world a happier, healthier, better place for our kids, ourselves, fundamentally.
Okay, brilliant. Rachel, What would you have to say if I asked you the same question? So what is the purpose or the invitation to those that are listening that might think, yeah, I want some of that in my life. Yeah, I want to come and experience this. What is this?
I will come back again to the fifth chakra because it's something that I am walking in my life, and I've gone through my own pains also when it comes to this connection, this block. And I know it's a collective thing that we have such a trauma around our voices and our expression and our sharing and our singing. And it's the one thing that we have to heal as a collective for us to merge the heavens with the earth, because the fifth chakra lies in between those. It's the merging of the body with the heavens, with the soul. When we are opening this space, we can connect with that essence. Direct. It's a direct, very direct experience. And so I really truly feel that through practice, through community, and through intention, collective intention, we can do that work together. And it's very, very, very powerful. Very powerful. Yeah.
Great. And by the sounds of things, you use sound as the bridge, as Luke has mentioned. You use sound as the vehicle or the invitation or the transformation, even transmutation, for people to experience that opening of that connection to, in your description, it's the fifth chakra. In others, it could be to higher self, to inner self, whatever that might be. Okay, fantastic. So give us a little taste of the venue. I mean, firstly, Sintra is an extraordinary, beautiful area. And just give us a little background, Luke, on Sintra and its magic and its ambiance and its history.
So, the Sintra is obviously a very mystical part of Portugal. There's the location, the Quinta de Bela Vista, is where we're hosting. The fifth is actually the it was built by Sir Conan Arthur Doyle, who was the author of Sherlock Holmes, and it's really interesting that he built this house. When you go there, is this stately home. It's one of the five most beautiful, voted one of the five most beautiful locations in the world, or villas in the world.
Wow.
And so it's absolutely stunning. It's surrounded by like thick woods, very 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 dense wood. You feel it palpably, the energy. We're by a very famous site called Quinta da Regalera, which is actually a well that kind of descends into the ground. So it's like an initiation well, and they say actually it was actually built by the Knights Templars, this place. And that's, they say that it's where the Holy Grail was stored. The Holy Grail is actually the thread of my own personal journey. What is the Holy Grail? I've been exploring the narrative of the Holy Grail with Portugal. And they say that Portugal is the Porto de Grail, the doorway of the Holy Grail. So Sintra, they say, is where the Holy Grail is actually located. So it's and it's very interesting that you understand through the Quinta de Bela Vista, which is this amazing venue, how this Sherlock Holmes makes so much more sense to me now. I've seen this location, right? The story of the character of Sherlock Holmes, this man rooted in the intellect and reason and rationality, constantly being kind of like trumped by his adversary, like Moriarty, who was kind of rooted in mysticism and magic. And it's very interesting that Sintra kind of somehow conveys this, and it carries this energy. But yeah, it's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. It's like,
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. And what I mean, why did you choose the location? Is, I mean, obviously you've got a real affinity and connection with Portugal, this particular site. So when you went there for the first time, not only you've talked about it as being beautiful and has history, but what did you feel when you were there? What was the resonance of what you were picking up? What would people get from that feeling?
it's just apps. The first time I visited, I went to a conference at the location, a beautiful conference, called The Dream, and it blew my mind. It was one of the most powerful events I'd ever experienced, and the most beautiful. And you arrive there, and you're just wowed by the majestic quality of the space and the otherworldliness. So I'd been there 2 years ago when Rachel was also recording a song called Lev Dahor, which is a Hebrew song. We were looking for a location. I called the owner because I'd been in touch, and we went back to record the song at the location. And at the time, I was I was nurturing the energy, the inspiration for the fifth in my mind. And when I was there, it just sort of seemed the right time to be like, listen, we're recording this track. I shared it with Alex, who is the owner of La Quinta. He loved it. He was like, it's beautiful. I went to see him the next day, and we just kind of had a discussion where I was like, listen, I really want to create a transformative event here. It's going to be unparalleled. I just feel this is something's like, it's more like it wants to be born. I didn't, all the pieces weren't there, but it just wanted to be born. And he felt that energy, and I was just moving with that energy. And I went home. I just started like designing a bit like a madman for a little bit, just downloading. And then over time it unfolded. I think that's how I kind of first presented to you kind of like a vision for what it should be. It's evolved over time, it's just become more and more shaped and more clear. And it's just you following the threads of energy anyway. So
No, beautiful, beautiful. We are gonna, I think this would be a good moment to go to a commercial break because what I want to do after the break is I want to get into some of the detail. So who have you got coming to speak? What are people going to experience? So we'll do that, and I think that would be really nice. We're also going to play one of Rachel's songs, which I'm super excited about. So do not go away. Stay with us. We'll be back with Luke and Rachel to talk about the fifth, hear some music, and find out who's going to be there. So see you in a moment.
Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm here with Luke and Rachel. We're talking about the Fifth Empire, which is this amazing event. I'm actually going to be involved in the event. We've not only helped to support and get our magazine behind it. So there's an article going into the My Green Pod magazine, which is going to be out tomorrow for Earth Day. So you can read more about it. You can also go to Fifth Empire, which is FIVTHEmpire.com. So you can check out more. Do go and check it out if you're feeling inspired or you love what Luke and Rachel are talking about. There's going to be some amazing people there. So let's get into the detail, guys. So we know about the venue. We've heard a little bit about that. We know it's in Portugal, with the dates May the 4th. But tell us about who have you brought in to kind of be a part of expressing and sharing and embodying and manifesting this vision that has been given to you.
So we're very, very grateful and excited to have the likes of Robert E. Grant, world-renowned Egyptologist and polymath, who will be our kind of headline speaker. Adam Rowe, poet, poet and spoken word, kind of embodied artist. He's beautiful. He's there to kind of bring the energy of Fernando Pessoa to the audience, because it's already rooted in the story or the prophecy of Fernando Pessoa, who is this famous writer, Portuguese writer. We have other people like yourself who'll be speaking. We've got Carl Smith, who works with psychedelics, who's a lecturer and a professor at, I think, Ravensbourne University, if I'm not mistaken. He's kind of doing kind of some of the most full avant-garde research on psychedelic therapies. Plus, both Robert and Carl are passionate about Egyptology. I mean, Robert is one of the, I guess, leading pioneers of kind of the recent discoveries with the Giza pyramids and what's the research that's happening there at the moment and its relationship to both the Ark of the Covenant and these kind of and I don't want to kind of I don't want to do too much Kabbalah plugging, but he was recently talking about kind of the drawings of Leonardo da Vinci that he had already shown in some of his early sketches that the pyramids had these deeper kind of like deeper tunnel systems underneath the pyramids that are stretching down. And actually he was Leonardo da Vinci had also overlaid some of these kind of these drawings with the Tree of Life, which is the Kabbalistic structure for the 10, the Tree of Life is a 10-dimensional universe, the 10 Sefirot. So it was kind of, or 500 years ago, this had already been somehow captured. What we're discovering today, which is fascinating, and Robert is currently revealing a lot of this work, and these kind of he's bridging, which is obviously what's so interesting for me, the connections between Egypt and these ancient civilizations and some of the deeper mysteries that we are all collectively trying to solve as a today and we're in this time that we're living, which is fascinating.
Nice. And it is interesting, isn't it? There is a lot of unfolding happening at the moment. There is this opportunity, I call it the kind of new paradigm, and I'm sure people can relate to that. But there is this world that has emerged around us, which is unveiling some of the deepest spiritual truths and mysteries. And yet there is also this really dysfunctional, fear-based old paradigm that is happening in our, in our mainstream consciousness. And I know you guys are very much about inviting people into the space of, guys, come and look at this. This is like a, this is a playful place where you can feel like the magic and the energy and have a different level of consciousness. And it's really playful. And I'm really with you on that. I mean,
It's all about that for me. Ultimately, you want people to have an experience. I come from a storytelling background, the experience design background. So bringing experience to people so they can viscerally feel something, especially when we talk about magic and mysticism, this light. I want people to be like, to once you taste this experience, you find that connection. There's no way you can go. You're just like, well, that's very clearly the only place to go, the deepest truth that I'm ever going to know. So it's just a clear signpost for humanity to come to align. And in order to reveal more of that light, you just got to be a better human being. So it's kind of, it gets really simple. You like, don't do the thing anymore, because if you do the thing, you don't get to have that thing, and you want that thing because that thing is what sets my heart on fire, right? It's what lights up my soul. So,
And a lot of people are talking about this idea of a new earth, a new society. But I feel it's not so much negating what we have today or the structures that we've built, but aligning our consciousness and infusing that into and learning from all the previous empires and starting the fifth empire is infusing all this wisdom, all this knowledge, all the technology. Everything that is here, let's be grateful for that. We don't have to remove ourselves completely to reinvent the wheel. We can actually just infuse the right consciousness and with that be so powerful already and create so much change already. And I
beautiful.
feel that this is a gateway event, which is going to lead up into many more in October, one more in May next year. And the idea is not just to have an event, but to have a collective of people, of visionaries, of change makers, of people with great idea come together and really collectively work
Okay.
to create, to build, to envision what can we do also very tangibly in this world, right?
And
So this
have some really important conversations. I want to create space for these really kind of on the cusp conversations, which really look at the intersection of things. For me, as I just going back to my own personal path about looking at frameworks and systems. So Kabbalah being this, in my mind, a foundational system. How do things connect? How do people bridge? How do we bridge ideas? How do we bridge traditions? How do we align understanding together, unraveling mysteries and secrets, finding those. And it's an inner journey. It's like, where are we blocking ourselves? Where are our trigger points? And what is that gifting me? Right? How do we come to deeper truth together? And from that place, we can then bring that energy to the world, to really impact the world, right? At a government at a level of governance or company organizations and like individual housewives or kind of like I don't know the worker in the street, the guys who kind of the your the guys who are building from the roads or social work. I mean, how do we change conscious the paradigm of the collective? How do we bring that energy to everyone's life? How do we awaken the soul, the spark in everyone to find that deeper connection to our own individual sovereignty and truth? Like, what does that mean? What does a world that's fully awakened look like? And how do they function? And how do we connect? What is the New York's amazing because it's full energy. And I got here, I was like, wait, can't you feel the vibes? It's a high energy, right? And it's very, so I'm not saying that truth is high energy, but definitely as we cleanse the heaviness, we elevate, right? But it's also that's part of the rooting, so it builds both. But we're expanding, we're elevating, we get inspiration, we get downloads. That this is
And you
human
live in
potential.
a realm of miracles
Live in a world, live in a
all
place of miracles, magic. Be in the miracle, be in
the
the miracle. Yeah, for sure.
miraculous.
It's
It's possible for each one of us.
the miraculous should be the everyday. It should be
Every day,
the
every
norm. It's like,
moment.
wow, everything's like awe. Like I'm in awe and inspiration. By the way, the true word in that biblically was awe. It was never fear. It got distorted into fear. People should be in awe of God, not in fear of God. Somehow, awe and fear. Again, it wasn't the 10 commandments, which is about duality. It was 10 utterances. Again, in early translations, I'm obsessed with the earlier kind of Hebrew and Aramaic texts and these scriptures, because in the texts themselves, we find the deeper truths of what things are meant to be and how they've been distorted for kind of a for control or power. Right? It's like how did wisdom become distorted? I want to correct all of this stuff. We don't have time to go into it, so I'm always trying to hold back, like not
Well,
yet.
it's fine. It's fine. I think that, that last kind of explosion of energy between the two of you, it really kind of amplifies what you're trying to, well, what you will achieve. There's no trying. It's what's going to happen. It's going to manifest through you. I love it. I mean, anybody that's out there listening that is feeling inspired, awakened, like you've had some breath of air breathes upon you that's just ignited the spark within you, then this is the event for you. So just remember, you need to go to fifthempire.com. It's fivthempire.com. You can actually get your tickets there. You can find out more information about it. If you feel that this is an event that could be, for somebody that you know that's close and dear to you, then please do, spread the word, because this is the beginning of something super, super special. Rachel, I'm mindful that we've got literally kind of just a few minutes left to the end of the show. Things fly in this space. Time seems to just kind of disappear, but I want to get your song in. So let's play some of your music. Tell us the name of the song that we're going to play. And once we've played it, you can tell me a bit about the song.
All right. You want me to tell you
But
now?
tell me the song that we're going to play first, the name of
Called
the song.
Warrior. It's called Warrior. The song is called Warrior. It's in collaboration with Moz and Mushina. It's been out for some time, but there will be some new songs coming very, very, very soon. So please stay up to date. This is about facing our inner challenges and turning them into great, great light and strength.
Beautiful. Let's hear this. Thank you. Wow, what a powerful, beautiful song. What does it mean for you, Rachel, that song?
The beautiful thing about the song is that I actually wrote it in Portugal, and we moved there about 4 or 5 years ago. And I really felt this energy very strongly coming through in my songs and the songs that I started to write from that moment on. So it really means for me also the support that I've been feeling from our Portuguese communities, from all the beautiful healing work and all the events that I've attended in the last couple of years that really elevated my spirit, my soul, helped me to keep sharing my music and my sounds. With people there. So it's really about this community feeling, and what music can do when it comes to this feeling and how important that is in our lives.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you very, very much. So nice to play. Right, guys, you've got 1 minute each. And I mean that because we are 3 minutes away from the end of the show. I want you to, in 1 minute, tell people why they need to come to the Fifth Empire in Portugal in Sintra. Go.
Well, it's really important that if you're listening to this, then clearly this message and this mission is going to be resonating with you, and we're stronger together and we're planting the seeds for this unprecedented change that is happening anyway. And we want people to come together, to gather together, to meet, to unify, to strengthen and support each other, to be inspired by these incredible speakers, this beautiful location, and this transformational portal in time. Right.
Great. Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Luke and Rachel, I'm going to see you later in New York. And we got this big event happening on Tuesday for Earth Day. If you want to check us out, please do come and check out. You can go to We Don't Have Time, earthday.org, onpresents.com in order to see the live event, the broadcast. If you want to check out Fifth Empire, go to FIVTHEMPIR.com. That's the Fifth Empire. I'm sure you can kind of search engine it as well. We're going to play you out with my song Save the World by Jarvis Smith featuring Rita Ora. This song's to raise money for Greta Thunberg's Fridays for Futures Mapper. Enjoy, and I'll see you next week. Have a super week and be conscious.